All right, Rabosai, good morning. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Mem Beis 42. And we are picking up on Mem Aleph Mem Beis 41b. We're picking up five lines up from the bottom. We'll say really beautiful, beautiful daf. Ha'uda Amrli Lechavrei. Havli Me'azuzi Dimasiknabach. So a person says to his friend, give me 100 zuz that I lent to you. So again, I said, Reuven, give me the $100 that I lent to you. Reuven says to me, didn't I pay you back in front of Ploni and Ploni? Asu Ploni u Ploni. So the two witnesses come along and they say, Amri, lo, hayu dvarim me'olam, we have no idea what you're talking about. So it says, the Gemara, Samar Rav Sheshes LeMeimar, Hochzakafern. Rav Sheshes says, so what do you see from here? Reuven's a liar. Right? Reuven is now established as a liar. After all, again, Reuven claimed that he paid back the debt in front of these two people. These two people are denying any kind of knowledge regarding this debt. So therefore, Reuven is a liar. To which the Gemara says, Savarash, I'm sorry, Amar Le Rava. Rava said, no. Komilsa de la Ramya Le Inish Labadat. Rava says, it's actually a fascinating principle which we learned before, which is that generally we say, any piece of information that I am not required to remember, I don't remember. Which I will say, we know this in general in life. Even the pieces of information that I am required to remember, I don't remember. Right? Alach has kama v'kama, the pieces of information which I am not required, so to speak, to remember, I don't. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that in this case, because there was no stipulation to pay back in front of witnesses, therefore, again, Reuven is just simply remembering the information wrong. He thought he repaid the debt in front of witnesses A and B. It turns out that they said, nope, not us. That doesn't make him a liar. That just makes him bad with memory recall. It just makes him, again, a little bit hazy, a little bit fuzzy on some of the details. But because, again, there was no obligation to pay back in front of witnesses, therefore, this is what we call a non-essential piece of information. Because it's a non-essential piece of information, he is not considered a liar if he gets it wrong. Which also is an incredible, incredible principle on Yisod, which is that if it turns out that I am incorrect regarding non-essential information, that cannot render me into a kafran. That can't make me halachically into a liar. Ha'udu amr le'i l'chavrei. Ha'udu shes me'azuzi, dimasik ne'bacha. I go over to her and say, Reuven, give me the 600 zuz that I lent to you. So Reuven says, listen, I paid you back 100 kav afatzim vosa gall nuts. I paid you back 100 kav of gall nuts that were worth 600 zuz. So in other words, I paid you back the value of the debt with produce. I say, no, Reuven, you made a mistake. Yes, you did give me the gall nuts. You did give me the 100 kav of gall nuts, but that was only worth 400 zuz. Therefore, you owe me another 200 zuz. So what happened? So Rashi points out over here that in the interim he says, okay, I might have been mistaken about the value of the gall nuts, but I know I paid you the entire debt. So maybe just I paid you the rest in cash. Also, amru in ba'arba arba havokaimi. So we'll say witnesses show up and they say, yes, Reuven paid silver 100 kav of gall nuts, but at the time of the repayment, it was worth 400 zuz. So the witnesses now contradict Reuven's account. Reuven originally said they were worth 600 zuz. Witnesses claim they're worth 400 zuz. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hochsa kafran. Rava says Reuven's a liar because essentially he's been established as a liar because, again, essentially his testimony has been refuted by the account of the witnesses. Amrai Barchama ha Amrit. But one second, Rava, you just said before that in general, any piece of information that is quote-unquote non-essential, if a person doesn't recall it properly, it doesn't make him into a liar. Amar le Rava, Rava says, okay, but Ketsusa detara mitkar dekiri inshi. If there's one thing that people know, it's what? It's the value of their merchandise. So Rabbi says, at the end of the day, Rava says, if I'm paying with merchandise, I know exactly how much that merchandise is worth at the time of the repayment. The fact that Reuven says it was worth 600, when the witnesses say that it was worth 400, that ultimately, again, is a sign that Reuven is dishonest, and therefore, again, huchsa kafron. Ha'udam le'vechavrei, havli me'azuzi de'masik ne'becha v'hashtara. So let's listen to this. I say to Reuven, give me the 100 zuz that you owe me, and here is the shtar. I have a document which proves that I lent you money, a document which proves you owe me money. Amar le'praticha, Reuven says, I paid you. So we'll say, now, obviously, the difficulty over here is that I am still holding the shtar. So Reuven says, so obviously that gives me the right of collection. Reuven says, he goes ahead, Reuven says he paid me. So what happens? Amarle, so I admit that I received 100 dirhams from Reuven, but what do I say? Amarle, hano sitrei ninu. That was payment for another debt. So we'll say sitrei ninu, Rashi says, is mitzad achar hayisa chayivli. You owed me money from something else. So we'll say it's very interesting. So in this case over here, so just so you follow the flow, I'm claiming, Reuven, you owe me $100. Reuven says, and here's the shtar. Reuven says, I paid you. I say, yes, Reuven, you gave me $100, but that was for a different debt. So we'll say here, interestingly enough, I am admitting that I received money from Reuven, but I'm qualifying that admission by saying that it was for something other than the debt recorded in the shtar, and the fact that I still have the shtar allows me to collect the loan. So Amar Rav Nachman says Isra Shtara. So I'll say Rav Nachman says the fact that I admit that I received money from Reuven compromises or weakens the shtar. Take a look at Rashi Isra Shtara. We'll say, once I admit that I went ahead and I received money from Reuven, I've effectively diminished the power of the shtar. Therefore, again, both say, so Isra Shtar Rashi says, Hoil Umode Shekiblim, since I admitted that I received the money, Valav Kol Kamine Lomar Sitroininu. I'm not believed to say this was for something else. So both say, in other words, if I have a debt recorded in a document, and Reuven's saying you paid me 100, I'm saying I paid 100, and I'm admitting that I received 100, my admission erodes, or I should say, not erodes, but diminishes the strength of the document that I am holding. Rav Papa says, no, lo istra shtara, it is not true, the shtara is not compromised. Ul Rav Papa, maishna me'ahu domle v'chavre, so according to Rav Papa, who says that the shtara is not compromised, so we'll say, so why is this different than the following case? Me'ahu domle v'chavre, havli me'azuzi, dimasikna b'chava hashtara, I go between and say, Reuven, here, give me back the $100 that I lent you, and here is my shtar. Amar lei, lav ature yahavisli, va'asis. So listen to this. We'll read this one at a time. So Reuven says, you're right. You gave me $100. Remember, you gave me $100 to buy oxen. I bought oxen. Va'asis ve'esivas amas chosa. You came with me, and you sat by the stall where they butcher the animals. V'kabilas zuzach. And as I sold off the meat, I paid you off the money. And what happens? I say to Reuven, yes, I got $100 from you, but hano sitrei ninu. That was for payment of a different debt. What does that Papa say? It's Rashtara. It will say, once I admit that I received, what the Gemara is saying over here is, once I admit that I received money from Reuven, and that money is in the amount of what? The same amount as the loan spelled out in the document, I have eroded the power of the document. I've undermined the power of the document. And yet Rav Papa says that you say that over here. Hasam kevin damarat turi yahavis limin turi shakalt isra shtara. But I say it's different because in the case we just quoted, where again, there was an item-specific loan and an item-specific repayment. Reuven's claiming, you gave me money to purchase oxen. I sold off the meat with you present to go, and I gave you back the money. That's why isra shtara. Ha'cha emor sitrein here. Rav Papa, over here, it is possible to say that maybe there was another debt owed from Reuven to me. My habiyala. So we'll say, what's the bottom line? Rav Papi amar lo isra shtara. Rav Papi says, again, Rav Papa, the shtar is not compromised. Rav Sheish said, Rav Idi amar isra shtara. Rav Sheish said, Rav Idi says, no, the shtar is compromised. V'hilchasa. And Rav Papa says, what is the halacha? Isra shtara. The Rav Papa says, again, in a case where I say, Reuven, I lent you $100, and here is the shtar. Here is the shtar. And Reuven says, but I paid you back $100. And Rav Papa says, what do I do? What do I say? What do I say? Yes, you paid me back $100, but that was for a different debt. Rav Papa says, the Gemara says, the halacha is, the document is compromised, and unless I could prove otherwise, I cannot collect another $100 from Reuven. The fact that Reuven says he paid me back, I agreed that he paid me back, and the amount of the repayment is the same value as the loan spelled out in the shtar, I no longer have the ability to collect another $100. I will say, remember, the one thing I, the lender, have going for me is what? I have the document. Rabbi Zilber said, understand, normative lending protocol is when the borrower pays back the lender the money, what happens? Lender gives the borrower the shtar. The fact that the shtar is still in my possession is the one thing that seems to work in my favor. But again, says the Gemara, if we're talking about an amount of money, the same amount that's spelled out in the shtar, I'm admitting that I received it, it's a shtar, I can no longer collect. Another $100 with that same shtar. V'hani mili. And Rabbi said, when do we say isra shtara? So the pare ba'api sahadi. V'lo itgar le shtara. Rabbi said, that's only when repayment of the amount, meaning when Reuven gave me the $100, that's when the repayment took place, Rabbi said, not in the presence of witnesses. V'lo itgar le shtara. Rashi says, and ultimately, again, the shtar was not mentioned. In other words, the borrower didn't ask the lender for the shtar back. Aval pare ben didei ledidei. But Rabbi say, if repayment just took place between me and Reuven, then migo diyachal lemeimar lo hayu dvar me'olam, yachal nami lemeimar sitroi ninhu. Rabbi say, listen to this. When do we say isra shtara? Isra shtara is said when repayment took place in front of witnesses. Because Rabbi say, what happens when repayment takes place in front of witnesses? What happens? I, the lender, can no longer deny that I received repayment. However, if Reuven paid me the $100, and he paid it just between me and him, no witnesses, and then I later on say, yes, he paid me $100, but that was for a secondary debt, I am believed. Why? I will say, why? Because I have a migo. What's the migo? I could have said what? Never happened. $100? You never paid me anything. Since I could have lied and I could have said you never paid me anything, therefore, again, migo diyachal lomar lemeimar lo hayu dvar me'olam, yachal nami lemeimar sitrai ninu, v'kid avimi breid rabbi avo, because it will say, since the repayment took place, again, not in the presence of witnesses, but just between me and the borrower, I have a migo. I could have said you never paid me back anything. The fact that I'm admitting that you pay me back something, therefore, it will say, migo says that since I could have made a claim that you paid me back nothing, instead I chose to acknowledge that you paid me back money, I am believed to qualify the nature of that repayment. Fine. And we'll say that indeed is how the Rambam paskins, that halacha lemaaseh, again, if repayment took place in front of witnesses, but I, the lender, still retain the shtar, isra shtara, even though I claim, yes, you pay me, but the payment was for something else, I am not believed, and unless I could prove otherwise, I can't collect another $100, even though I still have possession of the shtar. However, if repayment took place just between the lender and borrower without witnesses, then the lender has a migo. He could have said, "Lo hayu dvar me'olam." Don't know what you're talking about. Therefore, once he admits repayment, he is believed ultimately to qualify the nature of that repayment as well. This is an interesting case. Listen to this, we'll say. I lend Reuven money. So what happens? Reuven says to me, listen, Silber, I trust you that if we go to court, if we ever have a dispute or in any way, you should be believed to say that I didn't pay back the debt. In other words, that if it's my word against your word should trump. Right? Your word should trump. Meaning at the end of the day, if you say that I didn't pay back, you're believed. So again, you are believed to, this is the borrower talking to the lender, you are believed to say, I did not pay back. Listen to this. So Reuven, the borrower, comes and he pays me back in front of witnesses. So Bosei, the Gemara says, listen to this. So now what happens? He comes and he pays me back in front of witnesses. They will say, parentheses, what happens? I claim I didn't receive any repayment. Supposed to hear this case? I lend Reuven $1,000. Reuven says to me, Silber, you are believed to say that I did not repay the debt. Your word is the ultimate decide if I paid or repaid. Reuven comes, he pays me back in front of the two witnesses. I then decide to say what? You didn't repay me. Bless you. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Sabai and Rava said, listen, Sabat ha hemne, what are you going to do? I mean, at the end, this was a tenai in the debt. Even though Reuven paid him back in front of two witnesses, he said that Silber, you are believed to go ahead and decide whether or not repayment has occurred. Or you are believed to state whether or not repayment has occurred. Maskevara papa, what does that mean? Nihi dehemne tfei minafshe, tfei misahadi mihemne. No, you're misunderstanding. When Reuven says that silver, you are believed to say whether or not repayment occurred, but Reuven effectively is saying, as Zatar will say, that if it's my word against your word, so your word wins out. However, again, Reuven does not mean to say that my word should what Rabbi say, that my word should go ahead and trump the testimony of a valid set of witnesses. So the Gemara says, "Adahu domali v'chaveri." Let's listen to this same type of case. I lend Reuven $1,000, and Reuven says to me, "Adomali v'chaveri mehemenes li kabet trei kol emas da amrit lo parana." You are believed like two witnesses to say that I did not pay back. So we'll say, you have to understand something. You have to imagine a case like this could happen as a form of enticing someone to pay back money. You know, again, whenever a person lends money, there's always the potential fear that the borrower might back out of paying back. So therefore, again, we'll say, if I'm a borrower and I need to borrow money, I can make this type of arrangement with my lender, which essentially gives the lender ultimate supremacy and ability to collect. So in this case over here, I'm the borrower, I say to the lender, ultimately, again, your word is believed. Your word is believed like two witnesses. So we'll say what happens. Azul pariba ape tlasa. So now I, the borrower, go back and I pay the lender in front of three people. First white line membeis with aleph in front of three people. Amara papa. So we'll say now what happens. Now afterwards, the lender says, "I never received any money." So we'll say, "So what's that locha?" Amara papa. Well, this seems to be an easy one. Why? Because I told the lender that what? He's believed like what Rabbi saying? Like two witnesses. Well, no problem. I went ahead and I paid him back in front of three witnesses. And as such, again, he cannot contradict the fact that repayment occurred. What does that mean? When do numbers matter? Numbers matter, let's say, in a matter of what we call umdina. So we'll say umdina means in matters of evaluation. In other words, in matters when it comes to what we'll call, judicial opinion or judicial valuation. We'll say where let's say, again, dayanim aren't necessarily going ahead and deciding about whether or not something is mutas, but they have to make a judgment call. So when there is a judgment call, that's when numbers matter. Aval le'inyan edos. We'll say when it comes to matters of testimony, meya kitrei utrei kemeya. We'll say again, we know this. This is like edos 101, right? Whether you have two witnesses, whether you have 100 witnesses, we'll say they're all what? They're all considered to be like one testimonial unit. So lemaisa say again, when I pay back Reuven the lender in front of three witnesses, we'll say that doesn't make that testimonial unit any stronger than the strength with which I vested Reuven when I told him that you are believed kebetre, which lishnachmina. So what's the other possibility? Another version of this exchange is who don't lay the chavre me'amenesli kebetre. Well, say I borrow money from Reuven, and I say to Reuven, you are believed like two witnesses. Kolemus de amrit lo parana. Anytime you say that I have not repaid, you are believed like two witnesses. Ozolu pari ba'ape tlasa. I go back and I pay Reuven in front of three witnesses. Amrapapa says, kibay trehemne, kibay tlasa lo hemne. Listen, at this point, I will say, I, the borrower, only vested Reuven with the believability of two witnesses, not of three witnesses. I paid him back in front of three witnesses. Therefore, he cannot contradict the fact that I repaid. I don't understand what that means. When it comes to testimony, Rabbi Osai, two is like 100, 100 is like two. Rabbi Osai, watch this. Here's the exception. If I say, Reuven, I borrowed $1,000. I say, Reuven, you are believed like three witnesses. Kibay tlasa. Va'azal upare ba'ape arba. And I pay him back in front of four. Kevan dinoches ledeos, noches ledeos. So we'll say, here's the difference. You see, if I go ahead and I tell him that, Reuven, if I borrow money from you, you are believed like two witnesses to say I did or I didn't pay back. We'll say, so then what I'm essentially saying to Reuven is, you have as much credibility as witnesses. So then, once I get to two is 100, 500 doesn't make a difference. We'll say, if I say to Reuven, you are believed like three. So we'll say three by definition is what? Three by definition now is not really just about testimony. It's also about what Rabbi Osai, also about numbers. Therefore, again, once it's about numbers, then I will say the number of people does make a difference. Because if I'm going out of my way to say three, what's three? What's three? It's a Beis Din, right? So I will say there's no difference in the believability of a Beis Din or a group of witnesses. Once I'm saying three, I'm becoming therefore number specific. And therefore, again, if I repay him in front of four, then everyone will agree that what Rabbi Osai, that Reuven has no power to contradict the claim of the four witnesses. Good. So Osai, so what comes down to over here is that Allah says, if I, the borrower, borrow with the Tanai, and I say, thank you for lending me the money, you are believed like two witnesses. So Rabbi Osai, so once I'm saying two witnesses, that means by definition like Eidos, which means that even if I go ahead and I pay him back, I pay back Reuven in front of three witnesses or four witnesses or five witnesses, it doesn't make a difference. Reuven is still vested with the credibility. Once I go ahead and I start giving numbers, if I pay, you are believed like four or five, then I will say I'm being makbid on the numbers, which means if I pay him back in front of a larger number of people, then by definition he can contradict, but in front of a smaller number of people, he can contradict. Remember, again, the Mishnah said, you do not swear based on the claim of a chirish shota v'katan, and we do not administer an oath to a katan. My time, what's the reason? Amakra, ki yitain ish areo kesef hakeim lishmar. So I'll say, Pasuk says, this is not by the shuvah of modib mikzas, if a man will give to his fellow money or a utensil to watch, ve'ein esinas katan klum, and about the act of a katan giving, or the act of giving to a katan, is meaningless. Fine, avan lishpon the katan or the hekdish, but you can take an oath to a katan or to hekdish. V'ha amrit reisha in lishpon al tainas shota v'katan. But one second, what does that mean? The Mishnah seems to contradict itself. The Mishnah says that we swear to a katan and to hekdish, yet we just said before that what? That one does not swear. There is no oath which is triggered ultimately again through the taina, through the claim of a katan. V'ha amrit reisha in lishpon al tainas shota v'katan. Amarav, we'll say, what's the case? Beva betainus aviv. We'll say, the case of the Mishnah is the following. If you take a look at the second to last line in Rashi, beva betainus aviv, hadik ton lishpan benesinas ish kamar, shakatan tono ani masra, avi masra liyadecha. So we'll say, the case over here is where what? Is ultimately, again, of a person who's coming, betainus aviv. That I will say, ultimately, again, the child, although we'll discuss what is this a child, meaning that he's the child of someone, but he's a gadol or he's a katan. We'll discuss it in just a moment. But the case of Osai is where he's coming to the individual and he's saying, I come to Reuven, I say to Reuven, my father lent you something, or my father deposited something with you. V'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And I will say the case over here ultimately again is the perplexity of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This Sanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Pamim Sha'adam Nishpa Tanas Atzmo. Sometimes a person could swear based on his own admission. Case, what's the case? Amrlo, mona li avicha biyadi. Well, so I go over to her and say, Reuven, your father deposited a mona with me, ve'achaltiv pras, and I paid back part of it already. Rashi, ve'achaltiv pras, last Rashi, ve'achzarti lo chetzi, ve'achetzi av biyadi. So let's listen to this. So what happens? I went ahead, I say to Reuven, your father deposited money with me. I deposited $1,000. I paid him back $500, and I have the other $500. So I say, so what's the halacha? Hareze nishba. Ultimately, you know, I'll say that's a modem mixas. I'm admitting part of a claim, and therefore, what I have to pay, I have to pay back half, and I take a shvua on the other half. So the Gemara says, v'zeu nishpa tainas atzmo, and this ultimately again is the case of someone who swears based on his own taino. The chachamim say eino ela kimeshiv aveda upater. The chacham, on the other hand, say that no, I will say this doesn't trigger a taina. Instead, what is this? This is a case of meshiv aveda. I will say, now, what does meshiv aveda mean? You see, in this case over here, when Reuven comes over to me, what is Reuven claiming? Not his own debt, but rather what? He's claiming his father's debt. They will say, now, I could easily say what? No idea what you're talking about. Right? Lohayu dvarim me'olam. Never happened. No idea what you're talking about. And I will say, what's Reuven's follow-up after I say that? Nothing. At the end of the day, nothing. So when I go ahead and admit that I owe anything to Reuven's father, right, to Reuven's now deceased father, so Lamayin say again, that's like Meshav Aveda. That's like returning a lost object, which means I give back what I give back, and there is no further claim against me. Upatra, I'm Patra Meshuvah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, less than Meshav Aveda Patra. Say, one second. Does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov not hold Meshav Aveda Patra? Amarav, what's the case? Bishatano Katan. We'll say the case over here is where the claim is being made by a katan. Katan, va'amrit in the shvara tanis chayrishod of a katan. But we just said in the Mishnah that the taina of a katan does not trigger a shvua, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Liolam gadol. In reality, we'll say the claim over here is being made by a gadol. So Ruvain, who is a gadol, who is an adult, comes over to me and says, you owe my father $1,000. And what happens? It will say, so I am going ahead and I say, I gave him back 500, and the other 500 is with me. My car is a katan. It will say, if the claim is being made by an adult, then why does the Gemara call him a katan? My car is a katan. So the gabi mili davua katan hu. Because it will say, regarding his father's affairs, he is a katan. It will say, what does that mean? That Lamaisa, again, that he doesn't know his father's estate, doesn't know his father's affairs. So because of that, he's called the katan lagabe his father. Ihochi, tainas atzmo, tainas achirimi. It will say, if that's the case, then now we're setting this up as what? As a case of where Ruvain, who is what, Rabosai? Who's how old? He's a gadol. But he's called the katan because he doesn't know that much about his father's affairs. So now Ruvain, who's a gadol, comes and he says, you owe my father $1,000. And I say, what? I paid him back 500, I owe him another 500. So we'll say, so why is that called Ihachi, Tainas Asmo? So remember, the Bryce has said that there are sometimes a person swears because of his own claim. I'm not swearing because of my own claim. Tainas Achirimu. Well, I'm swearing why? Because Reuven's making a claim. In other words, I'm not admitting, it's not like I'm waking up one day, calling up Reuven and saying, Reuven, I have some good news and bad news. Bad news is your father passed away, right? The good news is that what? You've got money coming to you. You know, we'll say, you know that there's a halacha like that, right? The halacha is that if somebody loses a relative, somebody loses, let's say, a parent, but they are going to get a very large Yerusha. So I will say the halacha is that you say Dayan HaMS, and then you say Hatov HaMetiv, right? Or Shech Yonah, depending on the nature of the inheritance, which is an interesting halacha. So I have good news and bad news, right? The bad news is your father, the good news is I owe you money. So I will say, but that's not Tainas Atzmo. That Tain is being triggered by someone else. Tainas Achir, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Tainas Achir V'odas Atzmo. I will say, it's a case of where someone else is making the claim, but Ruvain is making the claim, you owe my father money, but I am admitting that what? I am admitting that I owe the money. In other words, Valdas, in other words, I've been admitting that I paid back half and owe half. Abin Bezer will say, Kulu Nami Tamas Achim Valdas Atzmo. So Shkayach, the Gemara says, I don't understand, that's every case that we've been doing. We'll say, that is the case of Modem Mixas. The case of Modem Mixas is someone makes a claim, and what do I do? What do I do? I admit part of the claim and I deny the other part of the claim. Ella b'drabba k'mifliki. Rabbo said, rather, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about the statement of Rabbah. Rabbo said, what's going on with Rabbah? Dama Rabbah, mipnei ma amra Torah modu b'miktas atani shabbos. Rabbo said, this is amazing. We saw this before on Sunday. So Rabbah says, why is it that a modu b'miktas? So Rabbo said, why is it that partial admission triggers a shivua? What is it about partial admissions which triggers a shivua? To which the Gemara says, chazoko, ein adam meis panav b'fnei b'achovo. Because Rabbo said, you have a general chazoko. What's the chazoko? A person does not, in his, which is a person, nobody's going to be so brazen to lie in front of their creditor. As I was saying, this is an interesting idea. You know, the halacha takes into account that Jews are, we're good people, and so at the end of the day, even when I do something bad, there's a ceiling to my bad kite. Right? There's a ceiling to my bad kite. There's only so far I'm going to go. So at the end of the day, if I borrow money from someone, that person, we're supposed to understand, there's no real financial profit in Jewish lending. Right? There's an issur of ribas. Leaving aside heter iska, things like that. But in the spiritual realm, there's no real financial benefit ultimately in Jewish lending. So somebody lent me money. I'm not going to deny the claim in its entirety in front of the Baal Chov. So really, what I would like to be able to do, as we'll say in just a moment, is to deny the claim in its entirety. But I'm not going to do it because that's too much chutzpah. So in reality, I'd like to admit that I owe everything, but I can't do that. So I don't want to admit the whole thing either. Why? Because I don't have the money to repay yet. Savar adahavili zuzi pranay. I just need a little bit more time, and I'll have money to repay. Therefore, again, I will say, what do I do? What do I do? How do I balance this? I will say, I don't want to admit the entire. I don't want to deny the entire debt because that's just ridiculous chutzpah. And there's a ceiling even to my chutzpah. I can't admit the whole thing. Why? Because I don't have the money to pay back. So, what do I do? I admit part of it. So mostly what that does is it makes me feel better about not going ahead and denying the whole thing. But what it does is it doesn't put me on the hook right now for repayment of the entire thing. So the Torah understands the logic or the psychology of the borrower, and therefore says, Amar Rami Shvua says, Rahmana Amar Rami Shvua Eluya Keich Idalo Dilei. Therefore, the Torah says, take a Shvua. So therefore, what? That Shvua is going to force you to admit the second part that you owe. So Bekulei, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, excuse me, sorry. So Keich Lola Bekulei, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar, Lo Shna Bo, Lo Shna Bivno, Eno Meiz, V'Hilchach Lav Kimei Shiva Veidu. So what's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds? That a person will not be so, when we say that a person will not be brazen to deny the debt in its entirety to the face of the creditor, we'll say that makes no difference if it's the creditor who he actually borrowed the money from or the son of the creditor who inherits the debt. A person is never going to fully lie to the person to whom they owe money, whether it's the person I directly owe, whether it's the person I directly borrowed from, or now that he died, his son who inherited the debt. And therefore, again, Abosai, when I go ahead and I admit that I owe part of the debt to Reuven, who inherited the loan of the father, ultimately, again, that's not me Shiva Veda, that's Modib Mitzas, for Rabbanan Savri, Bifan Avu De'ino Meiz, Ava Bifnei Beno Meiz. Abosai, the Rabbanan say no. The only person I would never totally lie to Abosai is who? Mamish, the creditor. The person who I borrowed the money from. The person who put the money in my hand. I can never be such a bal chutzpah to say, I never received anything from you. To his son? That jerk, right? For sure I could go. For sure I'll say whatever. The idea is a lot of this is also about relationship. This is the person who gave me the money. I can never be such a bal chutzpah to go ahead and deny the claim to him. But now that he's dead, and his son inherited the debt, I could lie to that guy. Right? That guy I can have the chutzpah to lie to. Therefore what? Therefore, midalo meis meishaveidu. Therefore, Rabbi say, since I could have lied, but I don't lie, therefore my partial admission, Rabbi say, doesn't trigger a motive. It makes us rather, it's considered as if what? As if I'm just returning a lost object. In other words, Rabbi say, because I have this migo, that essentially I could have lied and totally freed myself from any liability, when I admit to something, I am believed. So the Gemara says, mimatis mokmas like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So can you really say this like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? After all, hakatani reisha, so I'll say, but look at the Reisha. Reisha says, I go over to Reuven, your father owes me money, or your father owed me money. And I'll say, what happens? I know I'm switching around the names and the borrowing, I apologize. So what happens? I go over to Reuven, I say, Reuven, your father owed me money. Now again, the case over here is where his father died. So, what happens? Reuven says, I'm sorry, I only have in your possession 50 dinar. We'll say, what's that? Locha Potter. So we'll say, what is the Mishnah rule? What is the Raisa rule? Potter, why? Because like returning a lost object. So we'll say, you see from here, that Lamaisa again, it's Kamesh Sheva Veda. To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Hasam, the law Amar Barili. Hacha the Amar Barili. I'll say, here's the distinction. In the first case, ultimately, again, the claim was a definitive one. In the second case, the claim was not a definitive one. When it's definitive, Rabbi Osai, then we apply the laws of Modim and Mixas. When it's not definitive, then ultimately, again, we say Kimei Shiva Veda. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says, Rabbi Osai, what's the case of Katan and the Mishnah? The Katan, the Pari Minich Se Katan. So Rabbi Osai, Shmuel says that the case of Katan in the Mishnah, ultimately, again, as someone who has a debt against the Katan and wants to be paid back, ultimately, again, from the estate of the Katan. So what does the Mishnah come to teach you, Rabbi Osai? Mishnah comes to teach you that you cannot collect from the estate of the Katan without a Shvuah, which Rabbi Osai is not novel here. That is the general halacha, which says that what? That you cannot collect from Nichse Yisomim without a Shvuah. Hekdish, minichse hekdish. I'm sorry. The cut department say katan. Lehekdish, the department minichse hekdish. So I'll say ultimately against what the Mishnah seeks about collection from hekdish. It means I want to collect a debt from hekdish, from property of us which was previously mortgaged and is now hekdish. So you can't collect that again without a shvuah. So which the Gemara says, tanina. But 1 second, if you're coming to teach you that you can't collect from the nechassim of a katan without a shvuah, we already learned that before. We already learned that what? You cannot collect from the property of orphans without a shvuah. Tarti lamali. Rabbi, why do I need this halacha twice? He's coming to teach me that halachas like that by kishisha. The tani by kishisha. Yisomim shamru gidolim. When we say that you can't collect from the property of Yisomim without a Shura Bosai. We often envision Yisomim as Kitanim. But Yisomim could even be what? Yisomim could be Gedolim. Ve'ein tzarech lomar Kitanim bein l'shvua bein l'ziburis. The Rebbe said, it's an interesting halacha comes to teach me that when we speak about the laws of collection from the property of Yisomim, Rebbe Osai, Yisomim is that halacha, whether it's for collecting an inferior property or Shvua, applies to Yisomim of all ages. Because Rebbe said, the general logic of collection from Yisomim is what Rebbe Osai, that a Yasum is not necessarily conversant or not necessarily knowledgeable in the affairs of the estate. So to protect the assets of the estate, Chazal essentially said that what? Before you collect anything from the estate, you must take a shavua. You must take a shavua. And I will say, that's independent. So our Mishnah can be talking about Mamish Yisomim who are Kitanim, and the previous Mishnah spoke about Yisomim even who are Gedolim. Lehagdish, we'll say, what's the case of Hagdish? The apartment is a Hagdish. So tell me the case of Hagdish Shavosai is that, let's say again, I went ahead and I lent money to Reuven. His property was mortgaged to the debt. He gives the property to Hagdish. Again, he defaults. I now want to collect that property, which I had a previous lien on before Hagdish got it. So I need to take a Shavua. So Nina, we learned that already. We'll say from encumbered property, you can't collect except with the Shavua. Umali mishubadon lehadot, mali mishubadon legavoa. But say, what does it mean? What does it matter if it's encumbered to a regular person or a tech? We'll say, either way, if I went ahead and I lent Reuven money, so I'm a first position creditor. Reuven then decides to be a great baltstuck, and I will say, it's always easy to be a baltstuck with other people's money. So Reuven decides to take the piece of property which has a lien on it, and he decides to go ahead and donate to the Beis HaMikdash. Fantastic. Then when he defaults, I have the right to go to the Beis HaMikdash to collect that money which I had a prior lien on. All the Gemara's teaching me is that what I will say. I have to take a shua. I have to swear to Hekdish before I go and I take the money. But we learned that already. It's just Sagadai Tchamino, Hedjot, Hoyot, excuse me, Sagadai Tchamino, Hedjot, Hud Adam, Osekin, Yal Hedjot, Aval Hekdish, Dein Adam, Osekin, Yal Hekdish, Kamashmalan. So I might have thought that it's only when collecting from a regular person that I have to take a Shavua, because sometimes people play games. But no one in their right mind is going to unlawfully seize property from Hekdish in satisfaction of a debt. Kamashulan, Rabbi say that no. Kamashulan, unfortunately, people play games with Hekdish as well. And therefore, again, I as the creditor cannot collect money, cannot collect property in repayment of the debt from the Beis HaMikdash, unless, of course, I first take a shua. Amar Rav Huna, Shchibin HaShedish Kol Mechasev, Amar Man, the plan of the Adi, Ne'aman. But so listen to this. But yet we learn that a Shchid Mira, who consecrates all of his property, and he says, from the property that I consecrated, I owe a mana to Ploni, he is believed. Why? Chazaka ein adam osekinunya al hekdish. Because the Rebbe, we assume that a person does not go ahead and what? Does not go ahead and play games. Right? Steal from hekdish. Look at Rashi just a moment. Mana leploni biyadi hegbiu tchila mina nechasim shekdashti. So we'll say ultimately again, he goes ahead and he pledges his property to the Beis HaMikdash. But he also goes ahead and says, I owe a mana to Ploni. So we'll say, we assume, take his words at value, at face value, and he owes the money to Ploni. V'amar, Amri, hanimi v'shchimira, deina dam chote v'lo lo. We'll say, listen to this. That's by a shchimira. Why, I will say, because a shchimira, we say, eina dam chote v'lo lo, which means a person only sins if what? If they're going to get benefit from the sin. Because this guy is about to die, therefore we assume he's not playing any kind of games and withholding any kind of money. However, avagabi bari vade chashim. I will say, by healthy people, people play games with regular people, people play games with hegdish, and therefore I will say, the halacha is coming to teach me that if I'm a creditor, I lend Reuven money, Reuven secured the debt with property. Subsequently, he was makdish the property. Now he defaulted, he has no money. I want to go to hegdish to go ahead and claim that property in payment of my debt. And I will say, I have a shtar, right? I have everything. The halacha still is before taking anything from hekdish. What do I have to do? I have to take a shavua. I have to swear that I'm a first position creditor, and ultimately, again, only then and only then take the money from hekdish. Good. Mishnah. Well, says, finish the Mishnah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaro. The Elu Dvarim. Finish Baruch atah. Well, says, these are the things, up until now, we've been focusing on shavua. These are the things which you cannot take a shavua over. What are they? Ha'avadim, Shtaros ve'kakos ve'kdeshos. We'll say, so when it comes to Avadim, slaves, Shtaros, documents, Karka, Hekdeshos, Hekdesh. So we'll say, any claims regarding these items does not go ahead and generate an obligation to take a Shavua. Furthermore, and we'll say, we're going to explain all of these statements. Ein bohem, Tashlumei Kefel. The Bible said there is no claim for Kefel against them. V'lo Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. No claims of a 4 and 5 time penalty payments regarding any of these mezonos. The Bible said, if I stole any of these items, there can never be a claim for Kefel. There can't be a claim ultimately again for Arba V'Chamisha, which again refers specifically to the case of stealing an ox or a lamb. Shomer Chinam Eino Rishba. An unpaid custodian does not have to swear if he was watching any of these items and they were lost or stolen. No say sakar enu mashalim. A paid custodian of Bosai would not have to repay the owner of any of these items. The Rav Shimon says, Kodshim shechai b'achrayus on the shmon aleihem. Bosai, so Rav Shimon says, Kodshim, consecrated property, that you are chayiv l'achrayus on. Bosai, so if I have a responsibility for consecrated property and something happens to it, then I have to take a shvua on it. The she'ino chay b'achrayus in English, but any kodshim which I do not have responsibility for, I don't take a shvua on. I will say, what is this referring to? Look at Rashi just a moment. What's the case of kodshim shachay b'achrayusan, consecrated property for which I have a responsibility? Rashi says, kigon amar hare alai ola v'hifrish peimel enidro. So let's listen to this. If I say Hare Alai Ola, I hereby take upon me the obligation to bring an ola. So what's the halacha? What happens? So let's say I separate out the nicest lamb from my flock. What happens if wolves come and eat that lamb? I'll say, what happens? What's the halacha? The halacha is I have to bring another one. Why? Because I took a personal responsibility. I have the achrayis. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that any case where I have personal achrayis for kodshim, that will trigger a shvua. A shomer will be chayiv in those kinds of situations. Again, we'll spell this out more in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir says, Yeishram shehein kekarka, bekarka, veino kekarka. Vein chamodun. What Rabbi Meir says, there are things which are in the ground, but yet don't have the status of karka. And the Chachamim disagree. What are we talking about? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Ketzad, Eser Gifanim Tunos Masarti Lecha. I say to Reuven, I gave you 10 laden vines, which are both like 10 vines with grapes that are ready to be harvested. V'ala Omer, Eina Ela Chamesh. And Reuven says, you only gave me 5. Rabbi Meir Mechayv Shua. Rabbi Meir says, Yechayv Shua, that's Modeh B'Mikdas. The Bible says, why is that Modeh B'Mikdas? Because ultimately, again, we'll see, since the grapes are ready to be detached, therefore what? Therefore what? It's as if they are detached. Therefore, Rabbi Meir, this is a claim regarding detached property, which is then subject to Shua Modeh B'Mikdas. V'cham l'cham say, no. Kolam l'chum l'karka, haru k'karka. Cham say, if it's attached to the ground, then what? Then what? Then it's ground. Then it's karka, even if it's ready to be detached. So, ein nishban ela al davar shev midah shom mishkal shem inyan. Both say, furthermore, you can only take a shul regarding a matter. Sheb midah, sheb mishkal, sheb minyan. Both say, regarding something ultimately, again, that is measured, weighed, or counted. Ketzad, for example, bayis mali masarti lecha. If I say to Reuven, I gave you a full storehouse. Vikis mali masarti lecha, or I gave you a full bag of money. V'alo omer eini yodea elam ashenachta atan otel. And Reuven says, I don't know what you're talking about. Rather, again, what you see in front of you is what you gave me. So we'll say, essentially, the claim over here is for an imprecise measurement. A full storehouse. A bag filled with money. And Reuven's saying, listen, whatever is here is what you gave me. So Pater, we'll say, that does not trigger a Shua Modeh B'Mikdas. However, ze omer ad haziz, ze omer ad hachalon chayiv. But if I say, Reuven, I gave you a storehouse filled with grain, and the grain went up until the beam, the support beam. And Reuven says, no, it only went up until what? The window. Then I will say, that is the case of Shua Modeh B'Mikdas. Why? Because we're talking about specifically defined items. Right? Well, let's stop over here, pick up, and we're going to Hashem with the Gemara tomorrow. Shkoyach.